There's a link between competition and the labor share in the value added. So more competition, less inequality.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards.
Yeah, just to point on the gains, the rate of growth of per capita GDP can increase by 1 percentage point.
In this program, how more competition in sub-Saharan Africa could lower prices and increase welfare.
I'm Jesus Gonzalez Garcia, and I work in the Regional Studies Division of the African Department.
I'm Reda Sharif. I'm a senior economist in the Regional Studies Division in the African Department.
Competition is considered to be an essential driving force of market economies. It's said to ensure a more efficient allocation of resources and can boost innovation and productivity. So what happens when there isn't enough competition? The IMF's latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa looks at how the lack of competition in the region is hurting the poor and undermining economic growth. Economists Reda Sharif and Jesus Gonzalez Garcia contributed to the study.
So it's almost a cliche to say competition is good. And I think some entrepreneurs wouldn't necessarily think that competition is good for their business. Why do economists think that competition is good?
I guess that goes back to one of the basic ideas in economics that was the opposite of competition. So the lack of competition, which is some sort of monopoly, is bad for the economy overall. Because what happened is that this firm that has a monopolist position tend to underinvest and price more than the other situation where you have competition. So the consumer loses.
Also, competition is a force that is pushing firms to be more productive, more efficient in order to compete with the other firms. That's why each firm will become more productive itself to be able to stay in the market.
And so is sub-Saharan Africa a fairly competitive market when you compare it to other regions?
No, we found that competition is less in sub-Saharan Africa than in other developing and emerging economies.
So this research shows that competition can be thrown off by what you call market distortions, like foreign competition and monopolies, as you mentioned earlier. Are these market distortions higher in sub-Saharan Africa than they are in other regions?
Measured indirectly through profitability and markups, one can infer from it that these distortions are higher, yes. I mean, I just want to add that we're talking about sub-Saharan Africa on average, but there is a big dispersion, right? Some countries are doing much better than the others, obviously. But on average, they seem to be, at least at the firm level, you know, when we look at firm level data, one can say that the distortions are greater.
You know, just to touch a point that sometimes it is considered that companies coming from abroad may hurt competition and the industry in domestic economies. But that is not always true. If there is the appropriate competition policy, there is no way that new companies will become a monopoly themselves.
So trade barriers are not the answer?
Exactly. Or just denying the possibility of bringing new companies from abroad, that is not the answer. The answer is to bring them, but to make the playing field level for every company, foreign or domestic.
So traditionally, has there been more trade barriers in sub-Saharan Africa than there normally is in other regions?
It's been declining. So tariffs declined in most sub-Saharan African countries in the last two decades. But the main hurdle to trade remains actually non-tariff barriers. So while, you know, tariffs on goods are declined, there are still other types of hurdles. So that ranges from logistics, infrastructure, and so on. So these are still, I would say, on average, a bit more significant in sub-Saharan African countries. But if I may add to this link with trade, so one of the results we found in this research is that the sectors where, on average, sub-Saharan African countries have even more distortions, or what we call market power, are actually the service sectors. So these are sectors that are not traded. So it's not really directly related to trade, But this, in a very, how to say, in a subtle way, is an impediment to their competitiveness. Why? I mean, Jesus will talk more about this. But because you have less competition in these, if you want, non-tradable sectors, these prices go up. Because these prices go up, the cost of, if you want, doing business in these countries is higher, which means at the end, the level of competitiveness, you know, with other countries is actually hurt.
And Jesus, I was surprised to see that prices are, in fact, generally higher in sub-Saharan Africa than pretty much any other region. Why is that?
Yeah, that's an important result we got when we compare the price levels of different baskets of consumption in countries in sub-Saharan Africa and in the rest of the world. We found that on average, prices are higher in the region. And that shows that if market power decreases in the region or if there is more competition, there will be, of course, not only more productivity, but also lower prices to reach the consumers. And that decrease in prices will improve the welfare in the region. I think we should consider that one of the most important results in this chapter, because we were able to compare how much it costs the consumption of an individual, the basket of consumption of an individual in the region and in other parts of the world. And we found that it is much more expensive to buy something in the region with the level of income being lower than in other regions.
People's purchasing power is very low then.
Yep. Yeah. And it has to do with competition. Those sectors that can be open to foreign competition, to new companies, to new firms, show the lowest prices. But others, as services that cannot be traded outside your country, those have the highest prices.
So how do monopolies become monopolies? And is their impact more pronounced in developing countries than, say, in advanced economies?
So, I mean, two things. The first thing is, when we talk about competition, it's kind of easier to think about monopolies, which is an extreme case where you have only one player. But there's a range of situations, right? So it's what we try to study is more the market power of the firms on average in each sector, because that tells you what's their ability to price above their marginal cost, right? That, to use economic jargon, right? So for each unit they produce, they have some kind of a cost. And how much markup, which is the difference between the price and this marginal cost, they can charge. And the wider this gap, the bigger the markup, right? Or
the profit.
Or the profit and the market power. Now, you end up with one company or a monopolist for different reasons. One of them is what we call natural monopolies. And these are sectors where the nature of the market is such that only really one player can be sustainable. So these are networks. You can think of utilities, phone networks, at least in the old time, right, with the landlines. So these are, because of these network or network economies, you end up with one dominant, right?
There's big investments in infrastructure to develop the network.
Exactly. So you end up with one or very few dominant players. But there are also situations in markets where these are not natural monopolies, where you end up with one or very few players. And this could be the results of many factors. It could be funding. You know, you have to have access to finance. It could be distortions. It could be barriers to entry. A simple one is licenses. You know, some sectors are regulated. You need a license.
Bureaucratic.
Exactly. Could be bureaucratic. Mm. So some of them are economic in nature, and some others are, I would say, administrative or regulatory in nature.
Hmm. But is the impact of a monopoly on the economy greater in developing economies, do you think?
So we have preliminary results on this. But at least from what we saw, it seems that this, if you want, the effect of this market power or markups or profitability, depending on how you measure it, seems to be higher in sub-Saharan African countries compared to other developing and emerging markets, at least along the dimensions we studied, which are productivity gains. We looked at their ability to export. We looked at their investment rates. We looked at the labor share in their value added. And it seems that the negative effect of this lack of competition seems to be higher. Now, maybe one could dig further this, but for now, I think we can say yes.
Hmm. So what does the region stand to gain by boosting competition?
So a lot of things, I guess, to gain. So as Jesus mentioned, lowering prices in different items of the consumer basket, which means more welfare, higher standards of living, the ability to consume, but also better competitiveness. So if your costs are lower, you can compete on external markets. And then also at the micro level, so when we studied the behavior of firms, there is a link between this level of competition and the ability to invest, or the will to invest, to be more productive, to export, but also, and I would say almost surprisingly, the labor share in the value added. So basically the share of wages in the value added of firms, which is a good measure of inequality, seems to be negatively related to this market power, if you want. So more competition, less inequality.
Yeah, just to point on the gains, at the most aggregate level, the main result we got is that the rate of growth of per capita GDP can increase by 1 percentage point. And that number is not small if we take into account that in the last 10 years, the growth that we have seen is exactly 1% on average. Mm. So the gain is substantial.
And do you think that this new African Free Trade Agreement that many of the countries have signed on to this year, do you think this is going to help achieve better competitiveness in the region?
At least in its design, it should lead to more competition, because the idea is to first start with the tariffs. So that would take between 5 to 10 years to lift those tariff barriers. So that's a first step. Now you can buy goods at cheaper cost, and they would compete with your domestic producers. But more important, this AFCFTA entails other measures, such that lifting non-tariff barriers, right? So they have to think about, for example, sanitary, phytosanitary quotas, these kind of, I would say, non-tariff measures that block trade and actually lowers competition. There's also the idea of liberalized trade in services, which is interesting because this is one of the sectors where we found that some sub-Saharan African countries have really much lower level of competition. So this type of opening in those sectors will encourage more competition, lower cost, and as Jesus mentioned, higher welfare.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was
Reda Sharif
and
Jesus Gonzalez Garcia,
both economists in the Regional Studies Division of the IMF's African Department, talking about their study in the latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa on the benefits of competition. You can read the full report at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, look for us on Spotify or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thank you.